Rogan Tail Dog, Josh Ricardo, welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome to the Insta stream thing. What is that called? Live streams?
Live stories.
That's my old school Italian style. Live streams.
Something live.
And you get the cancer, you get the live streams. Hey, did you make the raviolis? What are you doing over there, huh? Live streams? Lux Suicide co-host, how are you, my dear?
I'm great.
Good to see you.
Thank you. Fabulous.
Good to know you. You got no brassiere on. Good for you.
Very anti-bra.
Pajama Lux in the house! Pajama Lux! I have a guy who I consider a friend. I don't know if he considers me a friend, but I have actually deep roots with this man now in a short amount of time, probably within a month and a half that I've known him. I have Joseph Reitman on. Joseph, say hello.
Hello, how are you today?
I was going to wait a minute before I brought you in, like a big reveal, but then I realized the whole audience is watching.
Watching you right there. I was sitting there being like, you're like, let's wait 5 minutes and then you'll enter. And I'm sitting here being like, I'm pretty sure anybody who's watching sees me right here.
Listeners, you don't see him. Obviously, the show is not out now.
Like, you're going to sit there like he's entering on a horse. We clop, like put coconuts together.
Clack, 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 Joseph Reitman directed and co-wrote a play I was in Edinburgh. I actually took over for him when he had to leave because he left to record. We're going to talk about it later in the show. This really fat. The trailer looks sick, by the way. Right? Right, Luxie?
It does.
It looks fucking sick.
It does.
He plays this really cool character in the show that's coming out on Sci-Fi December 7th called Happy with Christopher Maloney starring, which we all know from Oz, as well as, what is the other thing you were in?
Law and Order SVU.
That's right. That's on every fourth, on every channel ever.
I know him from Oz because I love Oz.
Yeah, we all like our man love.
That's right.
I know.
Little Tobias Beecher. I love him.
Yeah, I know.
I love it all. You probably have man love with him now. You guys talk a lot probably.
Like, we talk enough.
New Beecher?
I wish it's not happening that way. I can only be so lucky.
So Joe has worked in the industry for years. We spent, I don't know, 5 days together, like literally on top of each other. And I got to talk to Joe a ton and totally bonded with him and learned so much about not only the industry, but about what he's done. He had reoccurring roles on tons of shit. One of his big things was he did Married with Children.
I did.
A really great story about that. He played
awesome.
Kelly's boyfriend.
That was my first job ever.
Oh
first
my God.
Big job
she was
ever.
My idol. I wanted the guy, to be Kelly Bundy when I grew up.
So you know the guy who gets
terrible.
Who like Al grabs and says, come here, and hits him against the wall, into the door?
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
Oh
yeah.
My
That's
God.
It.
Childhood dreams come true.
Mine
right
too, when that happened.
One of the coolest things ever. I love Ray Donovan. But because Joe does so many like character actor bit stuff, and he's a character actor, so he looks different in a lot of his things he does. I watch Ray Donovan religiously, and we were walking through Edinburgh one night, late night, after drinking. He doesn't drink. I was drinking, so
yeah,
that tells you a lot about
you are drinking? Weird.
Yeah, it messes with my heroin high, so I don't like that.
So we're walking through the streets of Edinburgh back to the flat we're staying in, and he goes, we just were talking about stuff, and he goes, you watch Ray Donovan? I go, yeah. He goes, so I played the, you know, you remember that scene with the art director? I go, yeah, he goes, that was you know what the was you were associated with the art director.
I was an art fence.
Okay, all right. Art fence.
Yeah,
and he shows me this fucking incredible video of John Voight giving him a shout out, talking to his father because Joe's father is a huge John Voight fan. And I thought, like, as much as we would all like to be super successful and be on a level of John Voight, that's the ultimate dream. That is a close second to have John Voight go, hey, your son, he's a great actor.
Yeah.
We're doing some cool stuff. I mean,
that's awesome.
I don't even like my dad. And I'm not even
saying that. I have that, and the first job I ever did, I did with Dennis Hopper, and Dennis Hopper signed the script, and my dad said, "Your son's a fantastic actor."
That's huge. That would trick me into thinking I was supposed to be a success.
Right,
that
me too.
That would kill me every time I get rejected.
It's been downhill ever since then. I'm like, Dennis Hopper said.
But Joe's playing this really amazing character. He's even started his own handle called The Very Bad Santa, right, on IG? Is that you?
The Real Very Bad Santa.
The Real
Santa.
Very Bad Santa.
Yeah.
If you watch the trailer, they don't give too much away, but they give enough away where you see Joe in the costume. He's fucking terrifying. Like, yeah. Joe's terrifying in this. It's awesome. I cannot wait to see the show.
What
the fuck? When you saw that, you were like,
what the fuck? You're
like, this guy's coming in to sit with us?
I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, I sent her the clip. I go, he's the really creepy Santa guy. And I didn't hear back from her for a good, you know, 12 hours. Yeah. And then this morning she's like, oh my God, that guy looks so creepy. It looks so cool. Oh my God.
My new Tinder pic.
It should be. Yeah. But you know what though? When the show's a hit, people will be like, I'll fuck that guy. Last show we talked about,
we
people
were
fuck
just
OJ.
Talking about
right? Fuck
yeah, girls are going to show up and be like, totally. Do you have the Santa suit?
Are you really yeah. demented? I'm into that.
Can we black your teeth out? And like, how do you do your teeth?
You
like
know what's going to happen is that me and Billy Bob Thornton are going to have a really weird conversation about chicks. Yeah, about women. But I'm like, did you get that chick Sarah too? Yeah, fuck yeah. She showed up at my door.
Yeah, she was great in bed. Yeah. Man, that suit was hot.
Yeah, she insisted dressing like Rudolph. It was the weirdest fucking thing.
How do they do your teeth like that? What do they do to them?
I have a retainer.
That's cool.
Kind of like these yeah, yeah. Which I get to keep, thank That's, God.
That is cool. Cool. I have, who's wearing that though?
You by the way, I have four. Sarah. Sarah. What? No, I have four sets of teeth that have been given to me because I've played werewolves, vampires, demons.
So cool.
So like every time I do things, they give me teeth. Yeah.
Where are you? Did, say playing a werewolf. Is that the Portugal thing that you're famous for?
Or no.
What is that thing that you're famous for? Joe is really famous in another country that no one cares about. What's that country?
I believe the people in Portugal would be very upset you just said
I
that.
I like to sleep with every woman in Portugal. If you're out there watching.
Yeah, you did because you just all of a sudden the entire country went no, no.
I'm used to that.
No. I mean, the werewolf thing I did this show called Mental with a bunch of fantastic actors.
Yes, I remember now. Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead, keep going.
Yeah, we shot that in Colombia.
Okay, that's where it was at. And is that the country you're famous in, or is
no?
It's Portugal, right? I got that right.
It's Portugal. Yeah, in specifically Porto, Portugal, where they have the Comic-Con every year, is kind of like where I have a bit of a following.
You're going to have to show up to every Comic-Con.
I hope so.
This show, yeah.
Dude, I hope so.
Yeah.
But I was talking to someone that...
if I show up, by the way, at San Diego next year and there's one person dressed as me,
then you're
I'm done.
Success. Because we were talking about this. If it gets big enough for you to get a action figure, you're going to come in your pants.
I swear to God. And I've had this conversation. Yeah, exactly. If I get one... If Funko makes one pop Joe it's Reitman Santa thing, right?
Yeah.
Who needs an Oscar? Just take my little
Absolutely.
Funko, put it on
Seriously,
the
show. Yeah, I mean, that'd be amazing.
It'll be like me with Shirley. Like I'll be like Shirley MacLaine. I'll walk into audition with my little Funko, and put it on the table, and be like, "Hire me."
Exactly.
Who needs an Oscar?
Yeah, I know.
Funko.
I got a Funko. That'd be so fucking sweet, man.
And I bought every comic with my like character on the cover.
Yeah, yeah.
I was in case. Well, I was in New York Comic Con, and I went around, you know, because they had the panel there, and I went around the Comic Con and I flipped through.
That's right. Because you've been in New York now shooting for like 2 months, right?
Yeah, 10 weeks.
So Joe left the show in Edinburgh and directly went to New York to start shooting.
Yeah.
So when I came back, because you remember we were talking when I was in Edinburgh to work on stuff. When I came back. He had already been shooting for weeks, two weeks or whatever. And you leave in 2 days.
Yeah.
Or a day.
Saturday, yeah.
Oh, 2 days, Saturday. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, wrap it up.
Are you happy with the work?
The work that I've been doing?
You know, as an
it's
actor.
It's so hard to say, yeah.
We've talked about this before. As an actor, you agonize a ton over what you're doing. You
I hate
agonize.
Me. I hate me so much.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. And you are, because Joe looks really like, he's a tough guy. As an exterior, looks really tough. He's really Boston, you know? Mm-hmm. But he's an actor, so he's sensitive. I've learned this about him, which is hilarious to say out loud. That Joe, looking at Joe, he's the most sensitive dude ever. Look at him. But what's funny is that people don't understand like how hard it is to have to go to a really gross place like that. I mean, you play a really gross guy.
And live there.
And you have to stay there for 2 months.
And I work like, I don't work every day. There's a bunch of different storylines, right? So like I work like 2-3 days a week. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the time I have to kind of not let go of this guy.
Yeah.
So we haven't had this conversation yet. But while I've been here, like one thing that happened, I was here for like... 3 weeks. And look, I've been listening to Christmas music every day, like 4 hours a day.
To stay in the place.
Right? And my fridge was covered with pictures of like presents and toys. And I had a bunch of like things like, you know, and weird pictures of like girls wearing like Rudolph outfits and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I had like, people tied up. I had a weird collection of collage of things.
This
that kind
is
of
in
like,
the place they put you up in.
Yeah. In
so
Greenpoint.
You created the whole place.
Yeah. Like the only thing I didn't do is get Christmas lights. That's the only thing I was kind of like, I don't want to get that.
Yeah.
A little too much for me. But like... Mm-hmm. I had to sing things like the 12 Days of Christmas on the show or talk about everything from the reindeer to kind of like whatever. You know, this Jew from Boston doing all this Christmas stuff.
That's right.
Right. It's crazy.
I totally forgot about the part that you're also Jewish.
Right.
You're not even celebrating
Jew.
Christmas.
I'm a Dominican Jew.
Oh, Dominican
I'm a
Jew?
Jew? Yeah.
I'm an Irish Jew. It means I kick your ass for a quarter. Hey.
That's awesome.
So I was doing all this work, and I found myself getting really creepy because you start running the lines. Yeah. You know what it's like. You get into the character, you start walking around. I'm sure when you were playing the part for the play, you're walking around, you're thinking like an asshole part of the day. Sure. And you kind of like have moments where you want to be like this pig.
You got to sit there, yeah.
Yeah, and even when you're talking to people, like you kind of like the way that you're thinking, the way that you're processing, what you would say to them, you have to kind of put yourself in check sometimes.
Yeah, totally.
And it's if you're doing it correctly, you should really kind of get a little bit lost.
Because Joe also teaches acting in L.A., so it's not, I mean, so you know your craft very well. Not to say that people that get hired for these jobs don't. I'm saying not only do you have to live in this character, but you also have the technique where you're like, all right.
And it's not, but
you know, it,
you know what's funny? It's not only that, but it's also the fact that I've been telling people for years like how they should live a role if this type of thing came up. And I was sitting there like, I'm like, if I'm going to talk the talk, I better walk the walk.
Absolutely. I'm going all out.
I need to do all the things that I tell my students all the time. Sure. So I kind of like sat there and I put myself in check for this job and said like, I can't be lazy because I insist my students do these things.
Yeah.
Therefore, I should do these things. Everything that I tell them. Don't take anything for granted. So I did that. But what I found is that I'd been going to the gym because there's a long story about going to the gym and working out for this role and trying to get in shape and trying to be like, yeah, I have to fight Chris Maloney. He's a jacked dude. Yeah. And I
love him.
Yeah. Every girl says that. They're all like, I love him so much.
I love him.
Yeah. Girls love him. He's just the right amount of dickhead, isn't he? Yeah. Right? That's what it is.
I love him because he seems like an asshole.
That's what I'm saying. Every girl loves
him. Love that.
Wise ass, kind of like, yeah. So, yeah.
But said you were going to try to work out and they told you don't. They want you fat.
So this is what happened. This is what you know is that I had gone to the gym.
Yeah.
This is the conversation we had when I was in Uber, is that I was working out trying to get thin, and I wrote to the director. I sent him a picture of me at the gym saying, trying to get ripped up for Santa, and he goes, no, I want you fat. I went, got it. And I hung up the dumbbells, and I walked to Ben and Jerry's, and within half an hour, I was eating a sundae.
Nice.
And I was like thrilled, right?
Good for you.
So I get here, first night, I go out to dinner with the director, and I order like fucking three meals, right?
Nice.
And I'm sitting there with him. I go, getting big for Santa, and he looks at me, he goes, why? And I went, what? And he goes, what are you doing? I said, you told me to get big. He goes, I did? And
oh
I was like,
God.
I go, what the fuck, dude?
I've
been eating like a pig because you told me to. He's like, maybe kind of like a jacked kind of like big Santa. So I went back. I was like, holy
you're
fuck.
You're taking calories, but you're lifting tons of weight.
So that's what I did for another month. Yeah. So then I started going to the gym and started getting I started lifting and getting kind of like jacked
like
up.
Bulk. Yeah.
Bulk. Just like, you know, like four reps. Right. Like
five. It was all max.
Yeah. Five sets of four reps. You know what I mean? I was like getting like crazy, like, and trying to get jacked up. And I was going through that. And so I'm at the gym one day and I had been here for like 3 or 4 weeks, like working on the character. Mm. And what happened was like, I found myself at one point, I was working on the 12 Days of Christmas and I found myself 3 inches from a mirror going on the 12th day of Christmas. My true love gave to me 12 drummers drumming, 11 pipers piping, 10 lords a leaping. And I looked over to my left and there was a guy sitting on the bench staring at me.
Oh my God.
It, like I was like,
it's New York. You're lucky.
I am. But it was like, we're the only two people in the gym. And the guy just saw me like whispering to this mirror. And I was like,
he gets up and walks away.
Yeah. And I was like, I need to go back to LA for a few days and regroup. Because I had blacked out and was just whispering.
Did you end up going back for a couple days?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay.
I had to twice. I went back for a couple days just to like
sort some shit.
Recharge, really.
Right?
Because,
New York's a little much. But it was more the shooting for you.
No, both.
Really?
Yeah, both.
Because I know you're not a huge
intense.
New York
There's
fan.
A vibe.
And they put you in Brooklyn because that's where you're shooting, and it's like way off. I mean, a lot of people love Brooklyn, so.
Mm-hmm.
Have you liked it? I've seen your post. It looks like you're trying to enjoy it.
I am trying to enjoy Brooklyn. I'm feeling a little old in Brooklyn.
Of course.
Yeah, Brooklyn is.
Yeah, hipster.
Yeah.
Very hipster.
Yeah, I went to a comedy. I went to see a friend of Lee. I went to her comedy show.
Lee Janine?
Yeah.
On the show a lot. Shout
right,
out.
Right. Yeah. So I went to see her do comedy, and some like little hipster girl got on stage, and she looked over and saw me, and she goes, who are you, somebody's dad? In the middle of the set. And I was like,
What club?
I don't remember. Oh. But all I know is I looked at her and I wanted to say, like, I'm like, no, but you can call me daddy. And I was like, but I was done. Like, at that point, I'm like, are you serious? Like, and I felt that way, like, pretty much in Brooklyn the whole. I feel older than I want to.
I don't know LA, though. LA is worse than that, I think.
How?
I think you and I feel similar, vice versa. I feel the same way about LA. Well, I don't feel like I'm somebody's dad.
I mean, I prefer Manhattan, though, to Brooklyn.
Oh,
do you live in Brooklyn now? Do you live in Brooklyn?
No, I live in Westchester, but
the
best Chester. But I love Manhattan. I don't like Brooklyn at all.
No, I don't like Brooklyn either.
I understand.
It's very hipster and very 22 I'm 32. Right. I don't want to hang out with 22-year-olds.
Yeah. I feel like I do. I feel old there. I feel like that's the thing. I'm too old for it. I also feel like, you know, I think everyone thinks they're much hipper than they really are in that town. Sure. Also, in Greenpoint, it's almost kind of like it's really isolated because I'm like,
no, you're right.
So like, even when I Yelp, like I look for places to go, there's like this weird kind of like
culture of the Yelp.
No, like, really like 3/10 of a mile in every direction. There's nothing, and then there's everything around.
I mean,
some sort of blast zone where there's fucking nothing there. There's nothing. Just I can get pierogies, and that's fucking it. Yeah. Like there's nothing. Gosh. Yeah, it's like a couple Polish places.
You're literally living a Santa Claus life. This weird Santa Claus life.
Yes, in this enormous, beautiful loft. I mean, it's
great. I mean, they took care of you.
Yeah.
Like people, all my friends
in Brooklyn. That's the way to do it.
I've been trying to get Joe in the city to meet up with me, but it's been impossible. I've been gone a lot too.
You have.
Five in Manhattan is so much better.
It is. It is better. And I feel like over there where I am, and I don't have a lot of friends here, you know, and that's the thing. I've seen my sister a lot, which is great.
That's right. Yeah.
She's
nice. She like the scars you got her or whatever?
She does like that's the scars.
Great.
And then,
guys.
And then, should have brought you one. But I've seen a couple of other friends, but it's been very isolating. I feel like, and granted, I've had this conversation with other people. It's like, I also have been playing a crazy psychopathic, like crack smoking Santa Claus, which makes it hard for people to hang out with me.
Totally.
Right.
Cause I've only watched you work just in Edinburgh and just, you know, the little stuff we've done. You get into it, man.
I do.
You know, it's a great thing.
That's awesome.
You know, I knew because I was trying to link up when we first got back. We're like, let's try to get together, and we kind of just lost. I knew you were kind of doing your thing, and I like kind of left you alone until the bitter end.
I'm done now.
Now you're done.
Yeah.
So
now
it's okay to like come out. Yeah. Now I'm on set, different guy 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Now I'm talking to people on set. I'm like, so, and I've been here like 10 weeks. And I'm like, how's everyone doing? Oh, this is craft service, and I'm like, I'm hanging out. You know, it's just like none of that has been happening. I've torn up all the pictures that were on the fridge. You know, threw them away. Just kind of like ceremony, burnt them. You know,
I've talked about this on the air before. You got to mourn whatever you're doing.
Yes.
So I've gotten in situations where I've worked with certain actors, even if I'm playing a guy who's homosexual. If you're getting there, you still feel some attachment to your character, and you have to mourn it properly, or you're going to hang on to something that you shouldn't be hanging on to. So you turning up the pictures is not just you getting rid of trash.
That's correct.
It's symbolic.
It is. Next time you play someone homosexual, call me so we can work on it.
Yeah, let's get together.
Yeah, let's hang out a little bit. Then we'll make sure we have some time. We'll spend a couple days in Chelsea.
Finally, someone on the show that actually wants to really get down to business and do some true work instead of Lux.
I just can't stand them.
So I saw this thing that I really wanted to talk about on the show because you have tons of tattoos. And Bieber.
Who else can't I stand?
Well, no. And Bieber tattooed his whole torso, and I thought that was incredible. So this is Bieber's previous chest. You guys can't see it. Maybe the live stream people can. And they're going over all of his tattoos, which, whatever. I got a few bad tattoos, but at least they mean something to me. And now they're going through the progression here. We're reading this article. He has one around his little belly button, like he's Tupac. Full sleeve, two full sleeves, and now this.
Yeah.
So literally,
that's extreme.
He has covered up everything that he's marketed, like, you know, the abs, all the stuff that you work hard on. Mm. If I were him, I'm getting a gut. Like, if I have this now, I'm gonna get like a Vato Loco, 13th Street, fucking crazy beer gut and a big chest, like I'm in San Quentin.
Bieber had some body. Mm-hmm. I mean, he still does, but you're right. He's covering up all the stuff that's good.
This is the thing. This is what happens when somebody has too many good things happen to their life. This is what
he
happens.
He can do whatever the fuck he wants.
No. You try to ruin your fucking life. Like, he had everything he fucking wanted.
He's a saboteur.
Yeah.
Remember, Brando was the most handsome dude. He was in incredible shape.
Yep.
He was beautiful.
Sure.
He was beloved. And he purposely made himself gross.
He did.
He purposely did it.
Yeah.
It's like the rumor, right?
Self-hatred.
He did.
Yeah.
These are saboteurs. Yeah. They want to sabotage.
I think Brando, beyond that.
By no means is Bieber on a Brando level.
No. They're very different. Yeah. Right. Yeah. He's much better than Brando.
Just to be clear.
He's a dream. But Brando is just insane. Yeah. You know, I mean, like, you would hear crazy, crazy stories about him. Like, I don't want to memorize the lines because I want them to come to me. So I'm going to tape a piece of paper to your forehead, and I'm gonna read them up. Like, you know,
I feel like I can get away with that and still be good.
Yeah, right.
Right.
You have to be great.
Set with some guy who's like, he's told me some, I can't say them like on the air because they're about people that are well known.
Right.
But he's told me great stories about guys that are no level good actors. They're just famous, right?
Yeah.
Where they go through these fucking crazy regimens. They're like, Richard, why are you doing this? Yeah. He's told me so many stories about it.
Like, they're like, I'm an artist. Like, no, you're fucking not.
Brando shows up and he's reading off a fucking cue card. Right, you're like, Brando, he's going to win an Academy Award.
Yeah. Right. No, he could read the news. Like, I mean, he'd read the fucking, if they still had them, he could read a telephone book. They just don't have them anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, but that's different. But like, but I think that's the thing is like Brando, I think in some weird way was trying to like be like, I was this, I'm going to become this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think there was a weird journey in an artist journey.
Yeah, I agree.
For him.
I agree. Yeah.
That goes along with that. You
so
know
this
what I mean?
This guy's just self-destructing,
you think? I think so. I mean, it's not like he's, you know.
Yeah, I'm all for having, you know, yeah, be covered in tattoos from head to toe.
Mm-hmm.
But he's so young. There's not more life to live, more things to add about experiences. Yeah. That's my own personal thing. I mean, I wouldn't want to be covered at 24, 25. I don't know how old.
Would you cover your whole body in tattoos in the front?
No, I would never cover my
tits. Avatar?
I would never cover my vagina, and I would never cover my ass.
Do you have any ass tattoos?
I do not. And I wouldn't cover my stomach either.
Yeah.
Because you know that, I like certain things to remain feminine.
Yeah,
in my opinion. I do have friends who are females who have covered all these things and they still look beautiful. My personal preference. I do not want to cover the most feminine parts
of
my body.
Would you tattoo your eyelids?
I would not.
Can we tattoo your
I knew that was coming.
It's funny, I look at Josh, I'm like, can we? Can we try? I think the same thing. I'm like,
so you're saying no, maybe. No.
Can we at least talk, have the conversation?
I was like, there was like a quarter of a pause before she answered that. She did have to think about it for a second.
Say there's a chance.
I mean, I get this guy's never going to work in an office, so it doesn't matter.
But
you're probably always going to be working what you do in some way, shape, or form.
I get it. I wish he would have waited till he was like
gross
into his 30s to go for this stuff. I don't know.
No,
I just
dude's
feel like
in his mid 20s now, right? How crazy is that? How old am I getting that this fucking guy is in his mid 20s?
I remember when he was like 14, even younger, I think.
I don't know. Do whatever you want, bro.
I mean, you're rich and famous. Who cares? Whatever. Do whatever
what's
you
want. Gonna happen?
I hope he ends up in an office and has to work a job. I hope he blows everything and you just see him in a cubicle. Oh, fucking, how famous would it be? Like, it's like, you know, he's just covered in tattoos, sitting there. He's like 45.
An EA, a 45-year-old EA.
Yeah, he's got a fish fillet in front of him on his fucking desk, and he's just like, what the fuck happened?
He has to deliver lunches into the conference room. That's what he's qualified to do.
Right.
It's that.
Puff Daddy calls him for lunch, right? He's like, you doing okay?
Oh, no, that'd be great if no one would help him out.
Yeah, nobody.
Everyone wants to be his friend still, but no one else.
Yeah, no, I can't get, no.
His IG is just off the chain because he's taking pictures of famous people, but he still has to work in the office.
Just pictures of himself, like, sitting there.
In the cubicle. Look who visited me for lunch. It was Pete Diddy.
Right.
Plus some of his fucking shitty vodka.
Throwing a little peace sign with his fucking
TV show.
Why do people fucking drink that Ciroc vodka? I feel like, talk about cultural misappropriation.
I don't know.
So, here's what happened. A buddy of mine brought it.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to tell you what race he was, all right?
Okay.
He brought Ciroc. Okay, to my party, and I was cool.
He's Swedish.
That's fine.
So he brought the Ciroc. We drank the Ciroc, but I thought the bottle looked kind of cool.
Yeah.
So I filled it up with water to fuck with people, and I put it on there because I'm never gonna drink it. I want to drink it. I drink Tito's or Absolut or Grey Goose or whatever. Belvedere. Anyway, I put the shit over there. Every person of this guy's race, I'm not gonna say the race, came in. And I offer everybody a drink when they come to my house. It's like a thing, right?
You're
I'm a very
like
good
Ciroc.
Host. And I go, what do you want? How about some of that Ciroc? Everyone. Is that because of marketing? Is that why?
Yes.
It's not good. I know you haven't had it.
I'm going to say marketing.
Have you had it?
I have when I did drink vodka years ago. Not my favorite. I used to like Goose. Now I like Tito's.
It's not a good vodka.
I don't even drink vodka anymore. I don't know. I don't care for it.
You don't do any. We get it. You don't do anything anymore. All right. I get it. We caught you on the downslide of your life.
And
we
bourbon.
Get it.
I am. I'm so boring now.
Anyways,
I only drink whiskey and bourbon, and we'll only cover half my body in tattoos. Yeah. I am so boring.
I'm so boring. According to Josh,
but you know
it's
what?
Super
because all she does is talk about what she doesn't do. This is the thing. Because I think you do a lot outside of the show, and we even you have do stuff about the show. Fuck that shit. All right, this is perfect. I saw this article about mean-spirited memes.
And
I think people are starting to express themselves in memes, which is fucking totally generic and stupid. I hate it. There is no more original thought anymore. It's all memes. Okay. So I'm going to read some of these. You guys tell me what you think. So it's a picture of, what the fuck
is
that?
An EpiPen.
That's an EpiPen. Okay.
Yeah, if you're having an allergic reaction.
Like for peanuts or whatever.
Stab that into your thigh.
All right. My friend gave me this to remember him by before he passed away. He couldn't speak at the time, but it seemed really important to him that I have this. R.I.P. That's kind of clever, I guess.
It's fucked up.
It's fucked up, but it's like kind of clever.
Clever.
All right. Because the joke is, for those of you that are dense, is that he was having an allergic reaction. He didn't use the EpiPen. That's the joke.
Oh! Oh.
That's the joke. Ha ha! All right. So it's the mother talking to her daughter. Daughter says, "Mom, am I ugly?" Mom says, "I told you not to call me mom in front of people." That's kind of whatever.
That's fucked up. It's kind of funny.
look at this. So it's a picture of a woman with a strangulation marking around her neck.
That's hot.
And she it is hot. And she posts, "Where can I find a man like this?" And with the, what's that emoji? The lover emoji? Like kind of love emoji?
The heart
whatever.
Eye
the heart
emoji.
Eyes. And this guy writes, "Federal prison." That's fun.
That's
funny.
That's a good response.
It is.
So this is a guy with shit all over his face, and it's like, "Doctor, are the results of the test already? I'm dying from curiosity." I don't know what that means.
I'm dying from curiosity.
Because he's dying? That's whatever.
And the doctor's like, "That's not the only thing. Curiosity's not the only thing killing you," or something like that.
Okay, I don't like that one. Party invite, be there, be square. Oh, because he has a square jaw. So yeah. Neither's a little too visual for the show. But but the point I'm trying to make is... So the rumor is, I hate doing this, but it's, a lot of comedy friends that I have. So Fat Jewish, the guy who does that.
Fat Jew?
Is it Fat Jew or Fat Jewish?
Fat Jew, isn't it?
Oh, well, you're Jewish. You can say Jew. You say Jew. Yeah. Fat Jew.
Fat Jew.
Follow it, yeah.
He has been accused a number of times of taking comedians' jokes and creating those memes that become really popular.
Okay.
So the problem I have is an obvious problem being a stand-up, is that... I'm not famous, so if someone could take my jokes and put them on a meme, that could become problematic, and I think a lot of people are doing that because if you know how to do social media,
yeah.
I mean, that's an art form, social media. It's a terrible art form, but there is there's a technique to it. I am clueless. Mm-hmm. I do it, but I know I could probably be maximizing things more, and I'm not. So someone who actually knows what the fuck they're doing, I mean, it's all about the tipping point, right? If you're a kid, and you're growing up in this day and age, and you're 12. You've probably had a phone since you're 7 years old, or an iPad since you're five. Sure. Like,
yeah.
So social media, you know it. Because that's what you know. If you could take my joke and make it into a meme, and it gets famous, there is no copyright thing on that. There is no way I can go, I need to get paid off of how many people are posting this. It becomes public property for everybody.
Right.
And then some guy who posts it first, if he gets a following off of stuff like that, like the Fat Jew did, then he has a career.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, I'm sitting in here. I mean, it's great, but...
I mean, we're talking lottery as well, obviously.
It really is, yeah.
But I mean, look, I wish having long hair, ponytail, and a gut made you famous, and being a Jew, because then I'd be famous fucking too.
Yeah.
But, but that's not the fucking case, is it?
Right, you're right.
You know? And yeah, like, I've heard, honestly, I've never heard anything good about him. So it's like, it's like, I've just heard crap. And
he still gets people still follow him.
People follow him. He still DJs and gets paid a lot of money to do stuff. And you know what? That's everything that's wrong with the world. And if that's the way it's going to function, I don't know how much longer I want to be part of it.
You know what's funny about that? It's interesting you say that because with stand up, you run into this a lot where guys get one thing and then they use stand up even though they've never done it as supplemental because they can make money immediately.
Right.
Like you're a funny dude. You've said you've MC'd events before. Stand-up is not your thing. I'm not claiming that Joe says it's a stand-up.
Don't.
But Joe's funny enough to where if your character on this show kind of blows up a little bit or even gets lukewarm, you could write a 30-minute act and probably play clubs all across the nation and probably supplement your income a year by at least 40K.
Joe Reitman, Pauly Shore, and Corey Feldman on tour.
we were talking about Corey Feldman on the last show. That's right. You could easily do that. And I accept that because that's the business I've chosen. I understand right. that it's about how many drinks a club can sell.
And look, and you know as well as I do, like there are hot chicks out there who do stand up who make a lot of money.
They act because they're beautiful.
That's right.
Exactly.
And they have a following on Instagram or whatever, or they've been famous because they were playmates or whatever the situation is, or porn or whatever it may be.
Yeah, right.
You know, and they get out there and they can get people, they can fill enough seats that they can actually get time on stage at different places, develop an act from that small 5 minute act and develop. And if they're decent, get up to a 30 minutes and then probably get do all right
do
in that
a special
way.
Do something
right.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, look, and I know that too, and there's nothing, and but that's part of the fucking business.
I'm not hating on that. I think the part that bothers me about it is that there's a certain level of a self-absorbed nature that we're in with the generation that people don't hold themselves accountable and they don't believe they're ever bad.
Oh, but here's the thing,
that's
the
problem for me.
You and I grew up not pointing a camera at ourselves 24 hours
that
a day
is true.
And saying like, you know, look at me, look at me, look at me.
Yeah.
Like I feel uncomfortable. I do it once or twice a day to take a picture from my
Instagram.
You're
good on social media with the quality of what you put up.
Thank you.
You know, like,
and I work really hard at that.
You're really good at that. He has a really good eye. When we were at Edinburgh, we took all these great photos, and every time he would take a photo, he would always make it like look really cool.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, if I knew how to do an element of that, if I taught myself how to do that, I probably would get more likes on my stuff.
And I, but I don't.
That's,
I don't. I still have
1,500
followers. It doesn't matter. Because you know what? Because I'm not as pretty as you.
Yeah.
And it's just,
he's
and it's never going
to
happen.
That, everybody, in case you didn't know. It's
not.
Yeah.
No, but, you know, but it's true, though. I mean, I sit there. It's like, and if I sat there and I could make a duck face and be with a bicycle and saying, go into the store and have 10,000 guys go, you're so funny. Oh, my God, you're going to the store in a bikini on a bike? It's so funny.
You're so interesting.
Oh my God, you're so interesting. And that's part of the fucking problem.
Yeah, that is.
No,
that
you're
is.
Right.
You know?
You're right.
Yeah, but it's not going anywhere. So what I have done to combat people is these shows. I mean, the two shows I do, Generation Gap and this show, it calls everyone out on that. I'm trying to do my best to hold people accountable, but we have to have people listen. That's where you come in. You have to you have to listen. You have to subscribe.
But skill set is a complicated thing.
It is.
Because it's like, you know, I like to believe that I put in like the effort,
the work,
the work, and that I've actually created something that is of skill. But this is what happens. Like, I have a student of mine in LA who's a very talented kid. And the problem is that here he is, this very talented kid, and he gets cast on a Hulu show, right? You know, and he's doing all episodes, and they want to pay him $2,000 a week to work in the show. And there's three or four people on the show who are YouTube stars who are being paid $10,000 a week.
Yeah.
And they're getting paid $10,000 because they're YouTube stars. They're not the actor this kid is. They're not even close. They're not in the same fucking league. But they both all have a million followers each.
Yeah.
And that's what they're paying for.
They're
paying for that.
And you know what? I'm going to more and more auditions where people are going, what's your following? And I want
Well, that's what happens when you're not talented.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That way.
Hey!
What's your following? You were actually hired.
I just want you to show up with your Instagram number.
With your talent, you probably would need about 70,000 followers for us to be interested.
70,000? 700,000, Jeff. Uh-huh. No, okay, no. No, but...
You
son of a bitch. Why you in my home?
No, but I mean, that is a, it is a problem. And it's something that I run into as a, you know, as a journeyman actor, somebody who's like a guest star in a lot of shows, is a lot of the time they want to know like what kind of like numbers you're going to run. And the biggest problem for me is... It's not proven.
Yeah.
It's not proven that you have 70,000 followers that anyone changes the channel to watch you on TV.
Of course, it's not.
Right.
It's mean, we know that. I mean, you have 45,000 followers on Instagram. And, and I know there have been women on the show that have 100,000, whatever. But it applies to the same thing. We were doing the Broken Tail Dog Social Hour, and you were saying to me, I'm worried. I want people to show up to see me.
Yeah.
And you would think if you have 45,000 people, it wouldn't be an issue. It is an issue.
They're all over the world.
Right.
That's
and
one thing.
A lot of them are out of the U.S.
Yeah.
A lot of them. Yeah, that's just the way it is.
And that's
And it's easy for them to just click on their phone. It's actual work for them to go online, buy a ticket,
come
to the
see
city,
you, meet you,
buy
yeah.
drinks. Right.
That just because they follow you doesn't mean they're looking at every post you post.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that they're following a million people and their feed's going so fast.
I never have
44,000
likes on my photos, ever.
Yeah.
How many, like, what's the number of likes?
The highest will probably be like 1,000 or maybe 1,200.
Right.
It's usually around 600 to 800 likes. Where are these other? They're just likers. They're just followers.
Yeah.
They
just
want to
the
follow.
Yeah. You know, there's, and it's weird. Like, I posted this little clip of, like, I don't know if you saw it, of Trump. That
I did. With the filter on his face?
Yeah, the filter on his face. Yeah, so it's got, like, 250, like, you know, like, you know, people views so far, which is, like, 250 views is a decent number for me, you know? Sure. I mean, yeah. For me, that's not a horrible number.
Views tell you so much more. I have small videos that I've gotten like 14,000 views on, but maybe 500 people are liking a photo. I'm like, I see you, motherfucker.
Yeah, you're watching, you're just not contributing.
You're out
right.
There,
I have, so Dating on Set, the Broken Tail Dog production page, YouTube page. So Dating on Set, the web series is on there, as well as other sketches that Lux and I are doing. That page, the Broken Tail Dog production page, has over 700,000 views, right?
Yeah.
Subscribers, though, I have 1,200, which is not, you know, it's not bad.
No.
But when I go into meetings,
right.
If I were to have a million subscribers or even 500,000, I would already have sold a project already and I wouldn't be...
That's right. True.
You know, still having to hustle for certain things.
I had a meeting with Maker a few years ago.
Yeah, Maker. Yeah, who Disney bought a couple years ago.
Right,
yeah.
And just before Disney bought them, I met with them, and they were like, "Why don't you make a bunch of like pilots, put them out in the universe, and if you get like 100,000 to like 500,000, like you know, followers, we'll buy it." And I'm like, "How do I just make projects for no money that are going to be any good,
and then make people follow that?"
Yeah,
and that's what I've been doing. It's a hard route to go, but at least it's necessity though. That's the thing. Like, you are a working actor. You live in LA. Opportunity is more, and you have a really specific look, and you're really good at what you do, and you have a resume. I don't have your resume. I'm a little bit younger than you. I'm 36. So, and I don't have that background like you, that pedigree. I'm a stand-up, right? So I'm making things because I know I want to tell people this is what I can make.
Yeah.
But like you said, I'm making them to hope one breaks the fucking barrier so I can go, okay, look.
Right.
And when I talk to Maker, I go, look, here's the problem, right? I go, my fan base are mid-40s single mothers with tramp stamps who are divorced and like guys who look like big guys who might beat them up but actually care about them, right? Those are not people on Instagram, right, okay?
Yeah, and they have a busy life.
If I had 2 million 13-year-old girls following me, that would be creepy and weird.
Gross.
Right, yeah.
That's the demographic. Yeah. That's when I went to YouTube to make this. I knew what I was getting into. I knew that their fan base and their demographic does not, you know, sitcoms don't appeal to them. They're there to watch makeup tutorials, cat videos, something quick, and I'm making a sitcom. I knew what I was getting into.
Cat videos, damn it!
But I thought, at least if I can pull together 500,000 views, people would go, "This dude made a sitcom." Put a teaser of it on the YouTube, on the YouTube. My old Italian grandfather, but on the YouTube. That's incredible.
Yeah.
What would happen if we actually put it in a place where it could do something?
But here's something else. That doesn't make it good.
No.
That doesn't even make it good. How often do you, like on Facebook, you see something saying like, "You're not going to believe what happened with blah, blah," and then you click and you're like, that is the stupid.
I get clickbait
and I get so angry at clickbait.
Because you're angry at yourself for falling for it.
I am. Mm-hmm. Well, because I'm hoping it's good. It's not even that. I'm really hoping to be entertained. Hopeful. I am. I'm a hopeful person. I'm hoping I'm going to entertain. But I've seen things like, you know, like, okay, like I did a pilot for a show a few years ago that I pitched around, and there's a similar thing on kind of like BuzzFeed and Facebook that's similar to what I did with a younger audience, and they have a marketing team at BuzzFeed that kind of like sends this thing out there, and they get a ton of followers for the same thing.
Oh my god! I saw a guy in Salt and Straw who's on this the BuzzFeed. People were taking photos of him nonstop. He gets a million fucking followers, and they're engaging.
Yes,
that's what's different. It's not like he has 2 million, but all million are engaging with them. It's crazy.
Yes, it is crazy. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, I shot this, we sizzle reel, we went around to the studio. The studio's like, I don't know. If it's, you know, they were hemming and hawing because it costs money to make what we're going to make. BuzzFeed went out and did a similar thing that for like much cheaper with a bunch of people who are not funny or clever,
at all.
And then kind of like marketed the crap out of it. And then these people are being like, oh my God, I love this. And because the social media and people, like you said, the social consciousness, and the memes, these stupid fucking memes, you end up like with people. Yeah. And what's happening is it's the dumbing down of America. And this is, I sound like my dad when I say that. And I go, people are just getting stupider every day. Right. You know, right? Because it's not untrue.
But yeah, it's hard to articulate that without sounding like you're out of the loop.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kids these days don't understand the difficulties.
I'm a millennial. I'm at the tail end of it, right? I'm 36. I get in at the very end. You know, I'm not in that pocket of 25 to 35, but I'm in the very end of it, technically. But you're right. It's very hard to talk about that and not sound like a total fuckhead.
It is hard, but you sit there and you're like,
that's true.
Yeah. Because you're right. Doesn't take a brain to fucking click and resend a fucking meme. It's a problem. To write a clever quip is, it takes some effort.
A lot.
And you sit there, it's figuring 140 characters. How do I say something clever?
Yeah.
How do I do this? And you know, and you and I are thinking that way because you and I are like, oh, what's the way to phrase this?
Can we agonize over this?
What's the tag on this? What's the last word?
Just said it shittily. I would get retweeted all day.
Or yeah. No, not even that. But it's like the amount of effort that you and I put in to get like three or four more people to go like
it's
clever.
Taxing. It's so taxing.
Yeah, because I picture one person like you know sitting there in Times Square going, funny. Nice job, Joe. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you and I are fucking doing that for, like, one person. Well, somebody else is like, duh, click. And they're like, a million people just watching.
Her and I. We were doing something Saturday where she came to my show and we recorded a bunch of content, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, like, doing funny stuff. And, hey, everybody, blah, blah, blah. You know the whole thing. And then I go, here's Lux. And then I did this thing. We did a slow reveal where I would just shoot different parts of her body. And
like, my aunt.
I'm saying all this funny like, shit the whole time, right?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, so... What would she do next? She's like, well, that's just my ass. She wasn't wearing anything crazy, just jeans. And she just like arched her back, and people were like, oh, who's that? Like, it just became.
Click, 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 click.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I was going to.
It is. I admit it. It's fucked up.
I was going to start an Instagram feed of like pretty girls kicking me in the nuts because I thought that would be fucking.
Huge.
Yeah. I was like, I'm like,
I would follow her.
I know you would. Yeah, just a bunch of pretty girls demeaning me, and I'm sure like, you know, I'd get this weird fetish following. Yeah.
Be famous
for it.
You'd
be huge.
Some guy at home right now is starting a fucking feed.
You can imagine you actually have something going on right now, and then you start that page. This is the guy from that show.
That's Shanna?
He's Shanna's been
kicking the balls.
This is great.
Oh my, that's huge.
I should just do a whole like thing of Santa getting kicked in the nuts by pretty girls.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Probably a thing.
Everything's
too
probably
late.
A niche now.
Too late. Yeah, it's definitely on some fetish site.
Been
it's a
done.
Thing.
So before I let you guys go. I need to ask if this is for real or if you think this is, like, just because of the trend.
Mm-hmm.
They keep calling out George H.W. Bush, who's in a wheelchair. He's, like, 90.
Yeah.
One woman, an actress, said that he told her an inappropriate joke and he squeezed her ass during a picture or, like, put his hand on her ass.
Right.
Granted, the guy's in a wheelchair, so if he's putting his arm around you, technically it's probably going to be your waist.
Right.
If he can lift his fucking arm.
If he can barely lift his arm. Apparently he can.
Right.
This woman brought it up and went public with it, and his people apologized, said, hey, the president had no idea he was doing this. He didn't know, his attempted humor. Like, they apologized profusely.
Right.
But now they're saying there are more instances where he is copying a feel, and
oh,
he's
God,
doing
it's
more
called
stuff.
Being an old man.
You know, this other woman is saying, Grolnick said her encounter with Bush happened in 2016 while she was performing in a production of Hunchback of Notre Dame in Maine. Okay, so Bush spends his summers in there, wherever that's in Maine, and he caught a performance, and after the show he came backstage to get a photo with Grolnick and the rest of the cast, and Grolnick said she was told by other actors that the former president had a reputation for being a groper. She didn't take it seriously, and even she says this. I guess I was thinking, he's in a wheelchair, what harm could he do? Which I'm thinking that too. She says, we all circled around him and Barbara, his wife, for a photo, and I was right next to him. He reached his right hand around. I'm getting hard. He reached his right hand around to my behind. And as we smiled for the photo, he asked the group, do you want to know who my favorite magician is? And as he felt his, as I felt his hand dig into my flesh, he said, David Copperfield.
Better than any meme we read today, by the way.
We read five memes and that guy smoked all.
I'm not encouraging random men to go, you know, grabbing ass, but he's an old man.
Can I just ask you a question then? Yeah. What's the appropriate age that I have to be?
Doing? How many more years
yeah.
until I can start screaming?
I'm getting close,
like,
so I just want to
like,
know.
I want to say 75 and older. You
so
could probably get away
man,
with like a little.
But he has to look
like, I'm going
to
give you the look like, bro. But I'm not losing sleep over it.
He's going to be like.
I'm not going to be like. I was sexually harassed today. I'm going to be like, this fucking old man grabbed my ass. What
it's
a dick.
Weird line
and
to
my
walk.
Day's going
to
go on. Like, I'm not going to get hung up over
I'm so
this.
Happy you're on the show because if it was just me and Joe, we would get so many comments about how misogynistic we are for not sticking up for this woman.
Oh my, it's an old man. Like,
but,
he just made
no,
his day.
I get
good
it.
For you.
And I guess, okay, so there's two ways of looking at it. They're coming forward to try to change the perspective of what men think.
Right.
Bill Clinton got a blowjob under his fucking desk.
But he didn't pinch anybody without
no,
ass.
No, come on.
They're picking the wrong former president.
Right,
they
should just leave it alone,
yes.
I think.
This is why statute of limitations exists
for
these things.
If you can't squeeze some
this
ass
poor man.
When you're 90, what is left?
But it's not even, but
mean,
it's not even that. I don't, look, I mean, this is what's proving to me to be part of the problem. And look, not to obviously... Anybody who's gone through this is obvious. You know, I've heard horrible stories about Weinstein in the past, and like I've had, I know. And look, it's not like easiest guy to deal with. I mean, he's right. He has a reputation for being a prop, you know, being a bull. You know, you know, it's not like
he was head of the CIA. This is not a guy that. He's a powerful guy.
Yeah.
He's not scared.
No, and not only that, but, like, pretty straight-laced, if you ask me. Yeah. Like, that guy.
Looks pretty conservative.
If I had to pick which president that I would say would not be doing that, it would be him.
Or Carter. I don't see Carter doing that.
No, I don't see Carter. You know, he has a Nobel Peace Prize. Yeah, you just wave that. You know, I didn't do anything wrong.
That would be weird if it was Carter.
Yeah. His brother, on the other hand. But I think the thing is, like, he's an old man. Like you said, it's like, I think he probably has a hard time lifting his arm. I think he's probably developed that joke because he has a hard time putting his arm around somebody.
Yeah.
That is my guess. I am sure that he has slept before and touched somebody inappropriately. I'm sure that happened. I'm sure, you know, it might be interpreted in a way that she truly believes that happened. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's true. You know what I mean? But, like, I think, like everything else, like, you know, there's a context and you need to, like, understand, like, you know, sometimes, like you said, he's 90, right? It's like, you know, it's an old man.
And
it's,
this isn't a Bill Cosby case. You know what I mean? This is a little cop in a field situation.
I don't want to give anyone a free pass to do that. And I get why people be angry, and I get trying to change the conversation. But let's chill for a second and just go, okay.
Let's not get ridiculous.
Some weird old man. I get it. He's a president. I get everything. I get both sides.
Yeah,
but
of course.
I'm glad you're having a show, because I got a question for you that it pertains to this. You were married to a really prominent female actor. Now, I'm sure with all of this going around in Hollywood, this is something that you probably saw firsthand of that people try to do. I know you can't really say anything about
it. We got phone calls about, like, you know, obviously, because she had a 3-picture deal with Miramax. Yeah. Which, I mean...
Can we say who it is on the...
Yeah,
he was married to Shannon Elizabeth during her prime, when she was in American Pie and all that stuff, at the height of her fame. So that's why I think it's interesting that, you know, because Joe has a different perspective on this stuff than everybody.
And she had a 3-picture deal with Miramax. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, right at...
Harvey Weinstein's company, right?
Yeah, right. You know? So, you know what I mean? So there was dealings with, and, you know, and I had met him and Bob and kind of, like... And I will say this is, like, you know, during that time, like, there was never an instance where he behaved inappropriately with her in my presence or anything that I even heard of, right? And I can say that, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like...
You're probably one of the only people that ever said that, actually.
I know, right. Feels like. Isn't that crazy, right?
Yeah. Right.
But it's like, you know, that never actually, like, oddly enough, being as close to that, I had heard some stuff, but, like, you know, nothing to the extent, obviously, there's no way to have known, like, what was going on.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, the behavior around me was never, ever like that. Right. So it's interesting to kind of, like, have that perspective. And I've gotten phone calls from different magazines.
Because knowing what
they
want
to know what stories.
Yeah. Everyone's digging deep now.
And they've even called and said, like, we've heard a story. And I'm like, what's the story? And they won't even tell me.
Of
and
course.
I'm like, I was there.
Yeah.
So you could tell me what you think you heard, and I can tell you whether or not it happened. Because I was there.
But they're just trying to bait you into saying something.
Yeah, there's a lot of that stuff happening, too.
Sucks. That's lame.
It does suck, right?
That's lame, because you want the truth. You don't want some exaggerated version of...
Even I don't want fake news.
Yeah.
Like, even I don't. Right, you know? So, I mean, that's the tricky thing. It's like, so you sit there and that is a messy kind of, like, thing to deal with.
Sure.
And it's a huge story. Mm-hmm. And I think because of the hugeness of the story, like, you need to, like, dig for the truth.
Yeah.
And sit there and be like, what is real and what isn't real? I've told everyone who's called, I said, I appreciate you calling and asking, and I appreciate you doing the story and doing the research, because all of that's great, but I don't have anything to contribute to this situation for you.
Which is smart on your part.
Absolutely.
I think that's noble. Noble may be a strong
word,
but I think within this day and age, with people so desperate for attention, I mean, last show we talked about Corey Feldman, where he's been talking about being molested, but he seems to only bring it up whenever he has a project coming up.
Yeah.
So he can get in the
right.
news. And I'm not trying to...
He has a story, and we all want to hear the story.
Yeah, I want to hear this guy tell
his
a story.
His timing is almost just to stay relevant.
It's a little weird.
That's a little wrong.
But I think,
you know?
And going back to what we were talking about, it's like, look, you know, I've been touched inappropriately in my life by somebody. I'm sure you have at some point. And I'm guaranteed that you have, right? So
absolutely.
It's like, right? So, but the thing is like, you know, if it's somebody famous or not famous, it's like we've all been through it, you know? And that's what I'm saying. It's like the present thing, it's not that it isn't quote-unquote relevant, but it's like, look, you know, everybody's had a moment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And we've all had moments that you're like, was that? Or was it? Right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's that too, you know?
I mean, I don't have any beef with these women coming out about this. What I think is a little weird is that, like we were talking about, it's not on the same level as what the other things
are going
through. It's nowhere near someone raping you or someone taking the
Which
penis
is never
out.
Acceptable, of course.
It's never acceptable.
Right.
I mean, that's not acceptable either, but I just feel like the conversation is about something really, really extreme, and for this to be front page news for 3 days in a row.
No,
it's not worth my time.
Trying to steal the thunder of a much bigger,
it's,
and much
it's
larger
jumping on the back of something
story.
That is a true, true issue. A 75, 85 year old man, you know, pinching my wife's ass. I'm gonna go, dude. You gotta chill. Like I'm not gonna punch you in the mouth, but I'm gonna tell you gotta chill. It's kind of funny to me, and granted, it's not funny for everybody. But whatever.
You and your
I'm gonna
wife
move
aren't
on.
Losing
like you said,
sleep
gonna,
over that situation.
Yeah, I'm gonna move on, just like you said. We're gonna move on.
And don't you feel like at some point it's like I've gotten to the point where I'm like, how long is too long for me to hug a girl? Say goodbye at the end of the day.
Now I'm questioning everything I do. I really am.
I really am too, and it's making me sit there and be like, because like I definitely. I'm sensitive to that concept.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, but, and I have a lot of female friends, but I'm like, at what point is like crossing the line ever? Like, I don't even know what I'm scared now.
And you know this, like I know this. I'm not a conventionally attractive person. I disagree. Well, I think I'm all right looking,
you're
but I still have to,
junkie.
I have to put work in. You know, you're not conventionally attractive.
What?
People call you Alfred, but you get a lot of girls.
But he's got the blue eyes.
Well, yeah, I know. He's an attractive man, but he got a lot of shit. Because he was married to Shannon Elizabeth, people fuck with him because he doesn't look like Brad Pitt, which is stupid.
No, and this is, and this, look, if we want to get into a real crazy conversation, right? There's a whole conversation to have about like fact that there were, is it dead?
Dead.
Whatever. We're on the air. Don't worry about it.
There's a crazy conversation that took place. I mean, because like I had articles written about like, you know, beautiful women and their average Joes. Ew, he's disgusting. Look, she's
really
married to a caveman.
Stuff.
Things that were horribly written by female fucking reporters.
Yeah.
Women who wrote articles about how disgusting
people
I am.
Evil.
Yeah, and how could she be with such a gross guy? And those are probably the same women who are writing articles about fucking like
that's
you know
my
people about what's going on in the situation now. And I'm like, you know, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like fuck you
how
for
dare
like,
you.
How dare you attack me,
you
know, you
marginalize
in the way I look.
Me.
Right.
And then now you want to blow everybody else up. Like, look at Harry Styles. The poor guy got his cock grabbed on stage. That's not front page news. How's that? A female fan sexually assaults a man in public.
Yeah.
But we're not supposed to even reference
wrong.
That.
That's wrong.
How is that less wrong than what Harvey Weinstein's doing?
Wrong.
I get there, you know, they're not the same necessarily, but they are. Right. It's an assault.
It is.
And because he's a man, we're supposed to just go, oh, he's a cute kid. I'm sure he liked it. It's always like,
no.
I liked it because I'm a man and I'm so desperate for sex. I must be so flattered that a woman would grab me.
And I don't know why we think that way. I know plenty of guys that would have been like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, I probably would have.
I would have been fine with it.
I would have been like, okay,
right.
I'm resilient like that.
Yeah.
That's why.
If they saw the girl, she was hot, maybe.
But you and I don't give a fuck. I shouldn't have to be hot, no.
I just mean, one truth, and I would think it was great.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I'd be like, I'm totally cool with that. And they're not even like sexually excited, but I'm like, thank you.
Maybe it's guys' fault.
You know what?
Maybe we should stop being so flattered
it
about
is,
being sexually harassed. I'm so flattered when someone sexually harasses me.
Grateful.
I was in a gay bar a couple weeks ago, and they were like, take your shirt off. And I was really flattered these gay men wanted me to take my shirt off.
Yeah. I worked at a gay bar in West Hollywood for a couple years, and I was fucking thrilled every time some guy, you know, and this guy came in, he was like 6'6", like built like a fucking tank, that's like big black dude, he was a giant, he came over, and I looked over and he had a rose, he goes, for you. Right? And I looked up, you know, and I said, the only person that came to mind, I go, what's your name? Because I was like, I'm not upset, you know? Like, I'm not interested, but like, I was like, thanks for the rose, Tyrone. Fucking thank you.
I could see how Girls Gone Wild became a thing, because when those guys were like, take your, come on, you're so sexy, take that shirt off, I was like, all right. And I could see why girls would be like, I'll flash my tits. I'm drunk enough. Everyone seems to be into me.
No, it's not rocket science.
It's a crazy, because that's the thing is you get into the whole idea of like what's gone on. The whole transgender, we're moving to a weird conversation, but the whole transgender thing has like made it so weird because it's like, you know, I have absolutely no problem with anybody who wants to be anything.
Sure.
Zero, right?
Right.
It's like, but when you get upset and it's like, what happens when men start using women's bathrooms? I'm like, look, I spent my entire life watching like girls drunkenly come out of men's bathrooms going, sorry, and doing that their entire fucking lives.
Yeah.
And I don't have a problem with that either.
Yeah, I've done
it's
it.
Like, yeah, right?
Oh, shit.
You know, but if like, if a guy's in the girls' bathroom, all of a sudden it's a fucking issue.
Yeah.
But if you want to talk about like transgender, no issue, then drop it fucking all.
Completely.
Right.
You know?
Just make all bathrooms unisex.
Don't sweat it. And don't sweat it. And it's like, you know, and the same thing with like the sexual, like, you know, being assaulted. It's like, well, it's different. It's like, you know what? Sexual assault, sexual assault. If you can't argue that all genders should be the same and everyone deserves
it's
equality.
It's not black and white. You're right.
Yeah.
We're making it black and white, and I get it because it's an extreme thing that's with based on one guy that has now moved into how this happens all the time, which I know it does, and you know it does in the industry, in a lot of industries. And in fact, all industries, probably.
Every person you know on Facebook wrote Me Too. Yeah. Everyone I know did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, every Absolutely. Girl I know. Yeah. And I get it. And it's not okay.
Yeah.
But it's not okay behavior for any fucking body.
I think the dialogue just has to keep
Shout
going.
Shout out to whoever
right?
started that, Me Too. I don't even know who started Alyssa it, but Milano. That's brilliant.
Oh, she did. God, I love her. Yeah, that's
that,
right.
That
she,
whole thing was brilliant. Geez. My entire Facebook, when I opened it that morning, was everyone, Me Too, Me Too, Me Too, Me Too. And then I great. Read a little bit about it, and I was like, fuck it, Me Too.
I love some of Milano.
But everyone, and I was like, wow, that put it into perspective. It really big did. Time.
But then it becomes like, what's the word I'm looking for? Where, like we talked about, there could be your Me Too could be something different. It's all about how you perceive something.
Right.
I mean, harassment to me could a guy was eating something that stunk on the train. If I was a sensitive person, I could say this was very offensive. The smell of his chicken cacciatore was so wrong. And I was so offended and felt violated. I mean, everything can be, I'm just so emotional.
Right.
So if your emotions aren't always right. I'm just going to let you know. You're not always right.
If I'm getting sexually turned on by you talking about how violated you feel, is that a problem?
Should I not celebrate?
You might be sexually harassing each other right now.
At what point do we all have our own voice and can be celebrated
for it? This might be one big sexual harassment right now.
Joseph, me too, Joseph guys. Reitman, plug where people can find you.
I'm Joe Ugly on Instagram. And
to follow in line.
Joe Ugly. Yeah, follow in line with what we're talking about. I am Joe Ugly. And also on Twitter. And then Facebook, Joseph David Reitman. And you'll be able to see on Sci-Fi Channel.
Sci-Fi Network.
You'll be able to see the show called Happy, premiering December 6th. I play a repulsive, disgusting human being. Please tune in.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yay,
in it.
Luxie. I can't wait. Lux, L-U-X, Suicide. That's my Instagram. You can find me on Patreon under the same name and Twitter, Lux_Suicide.
Josh Carro, at Josh Ricardo, J-O-S-H-A-C-C-R-D-O. You know that. Broken Tail, at Broken Tail on all social media. Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. Also, please go and subscribe to the show. Okay, you can find it on iTunes and SoundCloud. Look up Broken Tail Dog. And you can subscribe there and hear all the latest stuff. Also, make sure you follow us on Instagram so you can see all of our material. That being said, you can email the show at brokentail@gmail.com. That is the email address, and we'll read your emails on the air. I want to thank you, Joseph Reitman, for coming on. This guy is an incredible actor. I'm so happy to have him as a friend. Luxie, as always, very good. You'll get better.